negotiations. And we discussed labor negotiations with the HR director and provided some direction, but no decisions were made. So with that, if we can have a roll call here.
Supervisor Peary?
Here.
Citizen Gert?
Here.
Citizen Morrison?
Here.
Councilmember Byers? Citizen Poynter?
Here.
Councilmember Reed?
Here.
Councilmember Tarraba?
Here.
Supervisor Stone?
Here.
And Councilmember Story?
Sam's not coming. All right, before we get to the agenda, we have a proclamation recognizing the system-wide rebarcoding project. And I would like to read it. Whereas in March, the Santa Cruz Public Libraries finished a year-long project to rebarcode approximately 435,000 books in our library system. Whereas the library system has been under great pressure to develop a service model in a limited amount of time that allows us to do more with less. The rebarcoding project was part of a larger goal to implement self-check in all of the Santa Cruz Public Library in an effort to streamline staff duties. Whereas the dedication and loyalty of the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Libraries, the Community Action Board of Santa Cruz County, Summer Youth Employment Program, library staff, and pages helped to complete this project. Whereas a special thanks should go out to the Friends of Santa Cruz Public Libraries for purchasing the barcode duplicators, which also helped us move quickly through our projects. Whereas the board would like to honor and thank the following members of the rebarcoding project. And I'm not going to read everybody's name because it's a very long list, but I do understand that there are some volunteers here. So if you could just please stand up if you are volunteering on the project. Thank you. And the mom sitting down with the child. Thank you so, so much. It was a huge benefit to the library. And I will read the last paragraph after the name. Now, therefore, we, the Library Joint Powers Authority Board, do hereby honor and thank the various workers and volunteers who worked to make the rebarcoding project a success.
And if I could just mention, Mr. Kyle, we're at almost all of the libraries as we move from library to library, and we also have to, one of our staff workers who grant workers who did a lot of the rebarcoding, but it took everything. So I'm glad to have these people, and also Bob, you were at Capitola or Live Oak?
I was at Live Oak in here from March to I think August.
Oh, so there was a lot of time. So I just wanted to say
thank you. So the side benefit for you all is you know the collections in those libraries pretty well now. Thank you so much. We have an agenda in front of us.
Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
There's an addition to the agenda. I was left off on one of the votes.
That was on the minute.
So we have a motion to approve and a second. So all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And we have minutes. Actually, Kara passed out revised minutes just now, which they draft on them, which have the corrections made, and they're highlighted on it. So with that,
I'll move approval of the minutes as amended.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now is the time for oral communications, which is when members of the public can address the board on library matters that are not on today's agenda. So are there any?
I just wanted to say we have a new citizen here, calling it on community art space. This is Jim Bourne. He's a photographer and a studio artist, and we're really happy to be kicking it off.
They're really gorgeous. I was looking at them before the meeting. Good idea. Any other comments? All right. Written communications.
A couple things to draw your attention to. I just put something in about the Trustee Advocate Friends and Foundations Academy. If anyone's interested, they have an online courses to help library trustees become exceptionally proficient in their roles on behalf of their public libraries. So some of you might want to consider that if you're interested. We also handed out the March visitors was left off of the statistics sheet. So Kira has handed out a correction on that. And overall, on self-checkout, that line got left off also in March. We achieved 64.5%, which looks like a drop, but it actually self-checked for Boulder Creek. It was only a partial month, and Felton and Garfield Park are now up, but they weren't up in March. So everybody went up. It was either equal or up a little bit. Scott Valley dropped a little bit in self-check, and I'm not sure why, but otherwise the numbers are creeping up steadily, which is good. The other I would like to point out, I'm waiting for my written invitations to personally give each one of you, but they haven't arrived yet. On page 101, the Pacific Library Partnership and System Advisory Board Breakfast, Celebrating Library Advocacy. I will be going in Olalco on May 21st. If anyone is interested in attending, let me know. I can RSVP for you, and we can carpool. Anyway, Pacific Library Partnership is the group that we're part of in the whole Bay Area. It's an important group for us, since I'm going to be chair next year. And I will, when I get the written invitations, I will also be sending them to the various city councils and county boards, and et cetera. Sales tax revenue, a quarterly update through March, January, February, March, and this actually reflects October, November, December, so it's the Christmas sale, so it's the important one for us, and it did come in a little bit higher than had been anticipated, and of that $36,555, about $28,147 is our share. The rest of it goes to Watsonville. So I just wanted to clarify how much of that was ours. So that's better than some of the news we've had in the past. Not a great deal more, but it's going in the right direction. So that's what I have. Any other questions on anything else? All right.
Let's move to reports of advisory bodies. The Friends of Santa Cruz Library.
Good evening. I'm Sherry Soule. I'm the president of Friends. I'm here tonight to report that we had our annual meeting, April 22nd, and we have our new board of officers, and I will continue to be president for one more year. Pete Cullen is coming in as the vice president, and he's promised me he's going to take over the role in a year from now. Bob Rival will continue to be treasurer, and Lorraine Hall will start as secretary. As far as the financial picture, we've done quite well with the bookstore. We're making anywhere between $2,000 and $2,500 per month now that Ron has increased the hours in the afternoon. So we're open almost, every day but Friday, until 6, and we have it staffed with volunteers, and it has made an incredible difference. What we're wondering is what difference it will make with the civic sale, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. Our annual civic sale, our huge book sale, is coming up the 13th of this month for members only and the 14th for the public. Meanwhile, as far as our financial picture, we have already expended the $25,000 for the check-in, check-out machines. We've allocated an additional $25,000, which Teresa has control of, for technology. And we've indicated that there is another $75,000, which will finish off the technology fund. We are about ready to embark on our next fund development campaign, which will start, we hope, in July. And that will be a general fundraising. It will not be tied to technology. So at this point, we've allocated and given approximately $125,000 for technology. And, of course, we've still provided for programs in book and media. But the next foundation, the next funding will be coming soon. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm going to introduce Ellen Campos, who is here representing Scotts Valley, and she's going to say a few words about the new library. Sorry.
The grand opening is still June 18th, and there will be a major donor private reception the night before, invitation only, black tie optional, although I understand Jake is going to wear a formal attire night.
I don't have semi-formal, so it's either.
If it's black tie, no council members are going to show up, I'll tell you that.
Elizabeth's going to go formal, too.
I'm sure she will.
But the 18th is the grand opening for the public. There's a lot of activities and things planned for that, and we really hope everybody comes to check it out. It's really beautiful. I got a chance to see it last week, and it's going to be done on time.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, you need
Thank you. Any comments from the Belton Friends?
With the absence of Darby or someone from Boulder Creek, I did want to mention something that has been publicizing because it's in the valley. There'll be a Shakespeare performance on the 12th of May. It's an abridged version. And on the 14th, they've gotten permission from the filmmaker to show a film called Shakespeare. Both events are coming up at Boulder Creek. Otherwise, it's the normal groups, book groups, there's all those groups at Boulder Creek.
Thank you. I saw those listing in the latest Friends calendar that was mailed, so I think they're in there.
Excellent.
All right. Finance Committee report. We did have a Finance Subcommittee on the 25th to take a look at the budget. To date, as well as the draft budget for 11-12, and had some discussions around formatting, and I see that staff has made those changes in what we have in our packet now. And so I'm not going to get into any more detail because we'll be talking about it in lots more detail later. Let's move on to member reports. Scotts Valley?
Well, I alluded to, cross your fingers, knock on wood, we are continuing to expect to deliver the Scotts Valley Library on time and on budget. There are a couple of things where the contractor is a little behind, but we have a construction management firm, Strategic Construction, who I think has done virtually every firehouse in the city of Santa Cruz, done virtually all of the Cabrillo projects, very well regarded throughout the county. That they are riding herd on the contractors like a hawk. And before we get to a point where this is going to be delayed, they're going to press a button, bring in additional labor, and things will be done. As Ellen mentioned, I don't know if anybody's walked through it or kind of do what I've done and peeked in through the glass now and then. It is exciting beyond words to see.
The plywood's down now.
So you can see in through the windows and even in the windows. You know, we've got windows all along the walls of the building, and every third or fourth window is colored. So some of them are light blue, some of them are orange, some of them are green, and they just add a wonderful effect. And this is the first time I've seen the colors and the carpets that you've picked out on the inside, and it is just so bright and vibrant in there. It takes your breath away. And the natural light that we've got in there, we've got booths set up for the teens and like a little diner setting and raised platforms and children's play areas and interactive toys, and it is so exciting to see this come, you know, just for us to get so close. And can't wait for it to open. As Ellen said, we are having two events. There's a high-dollar reception for donors that's, I think, selective invitations determined by the Friends on the 17th. And then on the 18th, when we're having the grand opening, you jump in if I'm wrong, Ellen, but that's open to the public.
Yeah.
And every member of this board is being invited. I believe other city councils are being invited, the entire board of supervisors, and we'd love to see anybody and everybody. We've invited Assemblymember Monning, Senator Blake Slade.
It'll be as soon as we get the invitation.
Oh, is that right?
We don't have them yet.
Oh, gosh. All right.
They will be invited.
Okay, good. Well, they'll be invited. You can't have too big a crowd, so we're really planning a big event on the 15th or on the 18th, and hope everybody can.
Thank you. Sam? Sam is not here to do the Capitola report. Let's see if I can do one.
I can.
All right. You probably can do it better than me. But let me just... we have received the Capitola Library, Ad Hoc Library Committee, has received a draft report from the programming consultant, the same one that Scott Fowler used, Kathy Page, who did a great job. A huge report, which I am currently wading through, which identifies library needs in Capitola, not just Capitola residents, but users of the Capitola Library, as well then translating those into space requirements and adjacencies. And the committee will be meeting next week to review it, and then I'm assuming it will go to council, and we will be able to take the next step. Anything else, Teresa, that you know?
From that report, I think they're also working on the budget, the cost, so mm-hmm. get an idea of the scale. Of
right, right. So, we are moving ahead. Staff reports, next agenda item.
Last month, you asked to postpone the lease agreement until this month, so what you have in your packet was the last version I had with one more that came in this morning, and the changes are in bold italics. It looks like I may miss some of the bolding, but so anyway, I presented for your consideration. I made as far as what I was given, I made all those changes, and then I guess the additional ones made out.
So this is an update to what we
yes.
got in our report.
Yes, this is an update that I got this morning for 3.02.
Okay.
That's what the Scott Valley City Attorney sent this morning. She had somebody send it because she was
so can you give it just a minute to look at it here?
It just adds 2 10-year extensions to the term of the lease.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah, I think that with Dana McRae here, who's county council, when I brought this up, one of the issues that I was concerned about is that this agreement needs to be consistent with the pass-through agreement, which was signed between the County of Santa Cruz and the City of Scotts Valley a number of years ago when the Joint Powers Board was formed. And there were some issues with respect to consistency that needed to be changed. Since that time, Ms. McRae and Scotts Valley's attorney have been working to modify. There actually are some additional changes that they were working on through today. An additional issue has come up with respect to the Tier 2 system. I think Kristen Powell was saying that even though we're changing sort of staffing and modeling, that was in the pass-through agreement, something that probably needs to get changed. So I'm not sure, as of right now, there's not an agreement between Scotts Valley and the county that can move forward. So I think we have a couple of options to do. We could either, I think this can get solved fairly quickly, so we can either do a special meeting. The other option, because of the way the pass-through agreement is created, that the county can in fact be the tenant, and that's the way the pass-through agreement is written. The county is supposed to be the tenant, and would then sublease or designate a party to be in there, which would be the Joint Powers Board. And in anticipation of this, what's on our agenda, our Board of Supervisors' agenda tomorrow, is to do that, is to change amendment, apply amendments to the pass-through agreement and designate the Joint Powers Board as the party to take into that lease. But since we don't have an agreement, that is right now, I don't think there's anything that's before us that we can or should be adopting. So from this board's standpoint, the option is that we could step back, let the county negotiate an agreement with Scotts Valley, which based on the terms of this can be done fairly quickly, and still in time to meet the deadlines of moving in. I'm not sure that this board can unless we have a special meeting. And then we can go through the process then of delegating that to the Joint Powers Board, and that kind of, at this point, we take this Joint Powers Board out of the loop, but would allow the transaction to go forward so that the library can move on.
Okay.
Jim? Yeah, I guess I don't quite understand. If there's an issue between the county and the city,
correct,
why would the library board need to be involved? I mean, what we've got on our agenda tonight is consideration of a lease with the city of Scotts Valley and the library board. Doesn't involve the county and Scotts Valley. If that's something separate, if you've got an issue with the city, if the county has an issue with the city of Scotts Valley, you know, obviously bring it up with us and we can work it out. But we're here representing the library board, right? Me, you, Ellen, everybody.
Correct.
So to me, we've got a lease in front of us. This was on our agenda for last week, or for April's meeting. Mark, I think you were the one who asked that it be pulled off. I don't think you provided any specifics of why you wanted it pulled off. I think Teresa asked you if you had any specifics. I asked you if you had any specifics. I think Teresa sent around an email to all of us saying we'd like to hear on some specifics that anybody has by the 20th. I don't think we heard anything from you. And so I don't understand why we need to make this change at this late date, especially when we approached the county, as I understand it, last year about who we negotiate the lease with. In other words, who's going to lease the building? We were told to work with the JPA. So I don't understand why we're having this change at the last second, and there's no reason that this board can't approve the lease right now. It's a lease between this board and the city of Scotts Valley. So if the county has an issue with the city of Scotts Valley, as you say, come to us. We'll work it out. I'm sure we can get it resolved. But the issue before this board is this lease tonight. So it seems to me this should be approved and dealt with.
The problem is that it is not the right parties, and the lease as it's drafted violates the pass-through agreement. And when asked about whether the county wanted to be involved, the expectation was that the city attorney would take into account the pass-through agreement when negotiating with the city attorney for City of Santa Cruz. That did not happen. So we're sort of left.
But the city attorney.
We're left in a dilemma because the pass-through agreement clearly states, and that's an agreement between the city of Scotts Valley and the county of Santa Cruz, that it is, because it was the time, it still is, it's the county's obligation to provide that library. And so the city was then to provide library services. The city, in the pass-through agreement, then had the obligation to build the library. So it's technically the county, and that's what the pass-through agreement says, it's the county or its designee that operates the library. So Scotts Valley is not, or the Joint Powers Board is not a party to the lease or the transaction here unless and until the county designates the Joint Powers Board then to be the tenant and to operate that library, because it's the county's obligation to operate the library in Scotts Valley.
Why didn't we hear about this in 2010 when we asked what agency we should deal with in terms of negotiating the lease? I don't understand why.
In 2010.
Last year, I don't understand when.
You know,
I don't know when that question was asked or when it came up.
Okay. Well, again, the question I've got is timing. This was before us last week.
Right.
We didn't hear any specifics other than ADA and wanting to make sure there weren't any tenants in commercial.
And the county and the city of Scotts Valley have been negotiating for about 3 weeks, including John Barisoni, who's the attorney for the city, trying to get this in place. And your attorney's been in Mexico for the last bit of time, and that has precluded the deal from being finalized today, which is where we're trying to get it to come today to this Joint Powers Board meeting.
She said exactly the opposite. She's done nothing to preclude this agreement from getting completed. She doesn't understand why these changes have been made at the last second. I still don't understand. In a lease between the City of Scotts Valley and the Library JPA, why anybody but the City of Scotts Valley and the Library JPA are involved. Now, I think there probably is another issue at work here. You know, to your point, you guys are going to take this up tomorrow. And it's interesting to look at the wording of what you're going to take up tomorrow. This is agenda item number 62 that the county board is going to be taking up. And I'm on page 2. and it says Library JPA. In the event the Library JPA terminates at the end of the current term, 2017, or the county terminates its membership in the JPA. So I'll read that again. Or the county terminates its membership in the JPA. The parties agree that the county shall be substituted as the tenant of the library site in the building lease. So we've heard on this board, we've all read what members of the County Board of Supervisors have said about their problems with this lease. The problems with the JPA agreement. We've heard from senior staff. We've heard from conversations with elected officials about their problems with the JPA agreement, about how I've even heard the county was going to pull out of the JPA agreement if certain terms weren't granted in the service model. And so it seems to me this is another continuation of that. And it's even going further. Apparently, you're going to be codifying in your laws, in county policy, a provision for the county to terminate its relationship in the JPA. And instead of the city leasing to the library, you're just going to swoop in and operate the library. And I don't understand why.
Let's have Jim speak, and then Mark, if you can respond, and then Helen, if you have a comment, we'll go to you.
So I don't understand why, if the county has a problem with the JPA and the county wants to change the structure of the JPA,
this has nothing to do with that.
I question that given what you're taking up tomorrow, and I question that given the last minute nature of these comments and some of the edits. Because you're saying the $8 million investment that the taxpayers of Scotts Valley have made, and it's not just me in Scotts Valley, Capitola is going to go through the same thing. So our library is $8 million, let's say Capitola is going to be $5 million. So the city of Scotts Valley, the city of Capitola, have chosen to be part of this JPA. We bring our tax revenue into the JPA. We've also got an obligation to build a library in our respective towns. You're saying if the JPA goes away, or if the county terminates its membership in the JPA, that we then have to continue this lease of a dollar a year. So this $8 million jewel that the city of Scotts Valley have residents have sacrificed for, we just have to offer to the county in perpetuity for a buck a year, even though you're going to be pulling out of the JPA potentially? I mean, how can I as a city council member justify that to my constituents? How can Sam justify that to his constituents? A $5 million investment, if the county blows up the JPA, we've got to keep providing our library to the county for a buck a year. I don't understand that.
Mark?
Can somebody explain that?
I'd like to ask Daniel Gray to come forward and talk about what has transpired here. Because this was a deal that was done by your predecessors in the city council that was, in fact, key to allowing the redevelopment agency to form. It always was the county's obligation to provide library services in Scotts Valley through the RDA. It was then, when Scotts Valley wanted to form the RDA, the county allowed that and it moved forward based on the promise from the RDA, from the Scotts Valley RDA, that it would build a library branch. The county still had the obligation to provide library services there. And so it is continuing to be the county's obligation for its designee, which in this case would be the joint powers for this library system that is run by the joint powers board.
I have a question up to you, Madam Chair, if you want to hear from Mr. McCray. He said something that I want to bring up and have a question about.
Will it be a question that the attorney would have some?
I have no idea.
Why don't you hold on
okay.
with that question?
Okay.
And let's hear if you can clarify the legal.
That's right. So thank you. I'm Dana McCray. I'm the county counsel for the county of Santa Cruz. And I'm sorry for the detail because a large portion of this does not involve your board. It involves the city of Scotts Valley, the Scotts Valley RDA, and the county of Santa Cruz. But historically, there is an agreement that we're all calling the pass-through agreement. And in that agreement, it says that the county is going to do certain things regarding the then proposed Scotts Valley redevelopment plan. And the bottom line is that in that agreement, it says that Scotts Valley is going to JPA has never been designated by the county to have the books and equipment needed to it or to be the tenant in the library. So that step was missed, and it was caused by people who are on the county board of supervisors or who work for the county. And Kristen Powell and I, and to some extent Jeff Arizoni, have been working on this issue for the last approximately 10 days. And we were very close until about 6:08 p.m. tonight when Kristen was between airplane and she and I agree that it's not ready for prime time. So legally speaking, if the city of Scotts Valley goes forward with a lease to the JPA, the city of Scotts Valley will be in violation of the pass-through agreement, which says you have to lease it to the county. And that's the basic problem that you have tonight.
Well, and so it would seem to me then that that's, we just heard from Ms. McCrae, that's the city of Scotts Valley's problem then. We don't share the opinion that she does. Once again, there's proof. This is an issue between the county and the city. This is not an issue for the library board. Our obligation is to consider the lease that we have tonight. And so if they think we're in violation, as Mark said, I think this can be worked out in the conversation, but that's between us. It doesn't need to involve the library board. I don't understand why there's yet one more delay. When I made it clear, and I think you made it clear as well, Teresa, that if we don't have an approved lease, we can't open this new library. I know the county leases some of its buildings to tenants without having leases, or that's what I've been told. The city of Scotts Valley is not going to do that. We're not going to expose our taxpayers, our community, our RDA to that kind of liability and without having indemnification and insurance issues nailed down. It's just nobody does that who's being smart, I think, about the facility. We have to have a lease. Like we said last week, we have got to have this done so we can move in, so this new library can open. It's as simple as that. And I guess the question that was brought up by what Mark said and what Ms. McCrae said, you know, so going back to the 1990 agreement, and once again, this doesn't involve the library board directly, going back to the 1990 agreement between the county and the county is obligated to build a library and to provide it for a dollar a year.
City.
There's also, what was that?
The city.
The city, yeah, correct me if I, thank you for saying that if I misspoke. There's an obligation on the part of the county. And that obligation on the part of the county is to operate it as a Tier 2 library. And there is detail in the 1990 agreement that talks about what a Tier 2 library is in 1990. It's included as an appendix H in this agreement. It details exactly what it is that the city of Scotts Valley is supposed to get. Now, if we're wanting to go a litigious route here, then what am I supposed to do about this provision, this appendix H, and the specifics that are in here? So these specifics, when this came up originally, when we talked about building this library, I didn't feel comfortable going to the county. I certainly would have come to the library board because it's not a direct issue for the library board to say, you owe the city of Scotts Valley service that you're not providing other libraries. Because we all know circumstances have changed in terms of the board's finances and services that we provide all across the county. We're not asking for special treatment. But if we're going to be in the model now of going this litigious route at the last second, yet again, and trying to have the county be equipped for if they terminate their membership in the JPA, what choice are we going to have other than to insist that the county honor its obligations that it made to the city of Scotts Valley when we signed this agreement? And what they promised us that got us to sign on the dotted line to build this library is a library that will be open 55 hours a week. It'll be open on Saturday. It'll be open at least three nights per week. It'll have five reader sets per 1,000 population plus two reader sets per 1,000 population added to the Tier 2 regional population. We're going to have staff and resources sufficient to respond to at least 75% of all information queries and 50% of all reference queries. And we're supposed to have at least three professional librarians. So if this is the route that we're going to go, what choice are we going to have other than to insist that the county, not the JPA, not this body, but to insist that the county fulfill what it said that it was going to do to us in 1990 that got us to sign up for this library?
So, Jim, can we move on? Because as you say, that's really not the JPA's
right
issue at this point. That's Scotts Valley and the county's issue. So, Ellen, you were next and wanted to make a comment.
Thank you. Well, I think if nothing else, it's
discussion makes it clear that this lease is not ready to be signed. There's some dispute going on between the county and the city of Scotts Valley. What's really missing here is legal representation of the library board. I mean, we really should have somebody here at the library board. We don't.
I can have John Barisoni. He's packing, but he said he
would
come down if we
wanted. I don't think we can't negotiate this. This board can't negotiate this agreement now. I understand why Scotts Valley would not want to have the library moved in without a lease and stuff. But, you know, we can solve that problem. This is not that big a deal. This has, as far as I know, this has nothing to do with the county withdrawing from the JPA or anything. It's simply a lease and wanting it to be legally correct. And legally, that pass-through agreement restricts who the parties to this lease would be. Now, we can solve that really easily. It's not a big problem. You know, the county can designate the JPA. We can, if Scotts Valley doesn't want the library to begin moving in at all before there's a lease signed, then we have a special meeting with the lease. We can have that in 2 weeks. If Scotts Valley will let the library move in but not open, then we could do it at our regular meeting in June. So I think this is really becoming a much bigger problem than it really is. It's really a matter of let's get all the attorneys in the same room and get an agreement on this, but we can't do it tonight. That's clear to me.
Thank you, Lee. Yeah, I guess I'm a little confused because I'm hearing that the library isn't the designee, but yet in page 7, item F, it says the county has named the Santa Cruz Library John Powers Board as its designee. So
it's
sounding like that's incorrect.
Well, I think that was put in the idea the county can designate, and before this is signed, that would happen.
I agree with Ellen that I think that the JPB does need legal representation on this. What I'm concerned about is the timing of it. If we delay approving a lease tonight, what does that mean in terms of opening the library? What are the effects of that?
That's really up to the The library is kind of caught in the middle on this, and I really whether we open on June 18th is dependent on a lot of factors, how this all plays out between the other parties. There is one possibility I'd like to throw out there, and it's maybe the wisdom of Solomon or something. If the board would like to authorize me to execute the lease agreement subject to the city and the county working out their differences in the pass-through agreement. With Dana here as the only attorney, you know, that you know, sounds like something reasonable, so that we don't have to have another meeting. Because I think the terms of the lease itself, I don't know if there's, that's been gone over quite a bit. Now, I don't think there's still issues out there, I don't know about them. But that way, if we're okay with the lease itself, then when the other two parties work it out and designate the JPA as the official designee, we're done. We've got the authority tonight to just go ahead and execute the agreement. And I would do that. If there were other changes made, I would certainly not do anything without consulting John.
In this lease that is in front of us, though, the JPA is the designee, correct?
It assumes that that's done.
Right.
Yes.
But to Teresa's point, that's something that we can approve tonight on the condition that that's going to be worked out.
Yeah, I mean, so you would authorize me to execute the agreement based on you guys working out your stuff.
Okay.
Right.
David, you had a comment.
Yeah, this is, the first time I've heard about this pass-through agreement, and it's from 1990, you said, which predates the Joint Powers Board. So at any point, have there been any leases that have been executed that have these same considerations?
No.
So what is it about now that's bringing this forward? I mean, we're right.
The lease.
No, but I mean, we're just now, you know, less than a month away from the opening of the Scotts Valley Library, and I would hate to see that opening delayed in any way because of this discussion, and I would like to see some consideration that we could have some alternative method to resolve this outside of this particular body by approving a lease of some sort to at least allow the move in, and if the one, the county and the city of Scotts Valley can then determine if the of their pass-through agreement is valid, that would at least, you know, then subject to some changes later on that we can approve at a future board meeting.
That's not it.
Explain that. I mean, this is kind of discussion then, because
I know,
the first I've heard about it,
I know,
I wish we would have had this come up at an earlier board meeting for discussion.
It's very confusing, and the problem is these issues should have come up, a while ago. We got the lease in April, and it was just sort of dropped on us. There was no staff report, it was just the lease, and it had problems. And maybe they should have been brought up earlier. I don't know. Really, our attorney, John Garzoni, should have figured out there are these issues and brought the county in to the discussion. You know, at this point, I mean, I think what makes sense is we schedule a special meeting for 2 weeks from now, but in the meantime, do something along the lines of what Teresa was proposing so that we don't have to have that meeting if they're able to work out the issues. But if they're not, or if there's still some disagreement, that it come back to the board.
That way
we get it done before anybody begins moving in.
I mean, I heard Teresa say earlier that John Barsoni is available to come down to clarify this. And if this was going to prevent future meetings and longer discussions, I would suggest that he be here so that we could have that discussion now.
Well, we could. It's just, it's going to be really a legal discussion that we're going to have. So you ought to have the city of Scotts Valley here, too, for their attorney.
The purpose of this meeting was to do exactly what David's proposing that we do and I'd like us to do. We talk about the lease, people talk about provisions they like, they don't like, and we vote. I mean, we public bodies make decisions on legal contracts all the time. That's what we're being asked to do. That's what we were asked to do last week when you elected to have us postponed for 30 days. I don't think we need another postponement.
Well, we haven't heard from our attorney.
I would feel more comfortable if we got this settled before we go forward on the lease. I think, obviously, and I'm seeing the attorney there sort of nod her head. I mean, it's important that when we go into this lease that all parties agree. And I think for us to sort of jump ahead and approve it tonight, contingent on something, I don't think that's necessary. I think we do have the time, as you said, Ellen. We need it. If the attorneys, it sounds like the Scotts Valley attorney's on our way back, right? So you'll be meeting presumably fairly soon in the next couple days. So what is your timeline in terms of resolving this? I mean, you've been speaking to her, so.
We've been working right along, and we have ruined for a vacation.
Oh, nice.
We will continue to work diligently until it's done. Nobody wants to see the library open until late. And we're extremely close. And I would say, with all due respect to Teresa's ideas, there are additional changes that the attorneys are comfortable with, but the clients are not yet. And so if you were to approve the lease you have in front of you, it doesn't have those changes. And I would also like to explain one thing. This lease was supposed to be approved conditioned upon the board of supervisors designating the JPA at its board meeting tomorrow. That language is not, I don't think it's in a letter to your board explaining that. But at this point, the board will not be designating the JPA tomorrow because these issues have not been resolved.
Lee, and then David, and then Jim.
Well, that was my question. Is the county planning on assigning the JPD as the designee, and then would the lease come back to us, or would it be a lease between Scotts Valley and the county at that point?
The idea was that we reach agreement on the lease, the county designates the JPA, and the JPA, the lease is between then the county's designee, i.e. the JPA, and the Scotts Valley.
So it sounds like we just have to wait for that piece of it and hammer out the details, and then we could approve the lease.
Yeah.
David?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Ms. McCray a question. You said that the clients are dissatisfied with the current agreement. Who are the clients in this party? Because I understood this is a lease between the JPB and City of Scotts Valley, or the Redevelopment Agency of Scotts Valley. Is that correct?
But there's something that has to happen before the City of Scotts Valley can make the JPA the tenant, and that is that the county has to designate the JPA. Because if we don't, then the county will be the tenant. Which is, as Mark was saying earlier, that would be your plan B. If this can't happen in the next 2 weeks, I believe it can, then the plan B is the City of Scotts Valley and the Scotts Valley RDA and the county enter into the lease agreement, and the county turns around and sublets to the JPA.
You're not representing the JPB, but what would prevent the JPB from actually entering into a lease agreement and then assuming that there's this pass-through agreement that I don't think anyone here has seen, at least I haven't, is valid to substitute the county for the JPB in the event that it's valid?
I didn't mean to imply that anybody thinks that the pass-through agreement is not valid. The parties all agree the pass-through agreement, which has been amended two times since 1990, is valid, and it controls the relationship between the City of Scotts Valley, the Scotts Valley RDA, and the county vis-a-vis the Scotts Valley Library. And that's what should have been held in at the forefront while this lease was negotiated, but it wasn't. So the lease you have before you has provisions in it that are contrary to the pass-through agreement. So if the City of Scotts Valley enters into a lease with the Joint Powers Board, the County of Santa Cruz, we have no intention of doing this, but the County of Santa Cruz would be within its rights to stop that lease agreement because the City of Scotts Valley's obligation is to lease it to the county because we never designated the JPB. We want to designate the JPB, but we can't do it until the terms of the lease are consistent with the pass-through agreement.
So I have two follow-up questions. When was the last time this pass-through agreement was revised?
2009.
Okay, and what were the what was the considerations? Why was it revised at that time?
Because the City of Scotts Valley and the Scotts Valley RDA was outside of its time frame for building the library, and there were other details, and we wanted to make what was happening on the ground match the pass-through agreement. And since that time, I have drafted a third amendment to the pass-through agreement to solve the problems that we're grappling with here. And Kirsten Powell, the Scotts Valley City Attorney, and I are very, very close to making the lease agreement and the pass-through agreement as amended match so that this can proceed.
So I guess the final comment is if let's say we were to vote on something that's on our agenda today, what would prevent the county from being a substitute for the JPB if the pass-through, it is enacted? I mean, if it just substitutes the JPB for that role as the leaser of the property.
Because it's the third amendment to the pass-through agreement, which is on the Board of Supervisors agenda tomorrow, that designates the Joint Powers Board. It hasn't happened yet. So what we're supposed to, and there are lease provisions that we need that are not in the document you have before you.
But wouldn't the issue then be that the City of Scotts Valley was not within their rights to lease to the Joint Powers?
Well, that makes the Joint Powers an invalid tenant, and I don't think anybody wants that.
I wanted to know what the ramifications would be if we were to ratify something like that tonight.
Thanks a lot.
Can it be substituted? I mean, that's wrong. Can you just substitute someone else?
No, the terms of the lease in front of you don't provide for that.
It's not that hard to fix. Yes. What we're asking is that we just fix it and get it right.
Yeah,
we'll
just.
Is it Lee first?
No, Jamie.
To the point that the question that David asked Ms. McCray several times, why can't we approve this tonight, right now? I didn't hear an answer despite however many times it got asked, and the reason there's nothing to prevent us from approving this tonight. Nothing, zero. And if the county is, Teresa outlined, I assume that opinion you got from Mr. Barasoni. So the legal counsel for this board has said that we can do what Teresa outlined, which is this board can approve this tonight. There's nothing to prevent that from happening. And then the county and the city can get things worked out, and hopefully we get everything worked out and everything's fine. There's no reason not to do this tonight. Second thing, I just want to go back again, you know, the idea that this was thrown on the county in April and this was a surprise to people, or that, you know, the mistake was made that the county wasn't involved in this. The city of Scotts Valley in 2010 went to the county and said, who do we negotiate the lease with? We were told one answer: you negotiate with the library JPA. That's what we did. If there's been any change here, it has been on the county's part. We did what the county said to do, and now once again we've got yet another change at the last second. So I don't understand this consistent pattern of why everything gets delayed relating to this library as it comes to the county. We had this issue come up in 2009 when the city of Scotts Valley, one of the terms of our purchase of our building, it was in the lease, we had to get a simple piece of paper from the county that said we would be able to access our library funds that the county was holding for us so we could buy the building. We didn't have that letter, we couldn't do the deal by July 15th. And the county delayed bringing that on their first agenda. They postponed it once. Then they dealt with this just a couple days before the deadline. And if we didn't go into closed session and have a legal conference on this matter, I don't know what would have happened. Now we've got the exact same thing happening again. And so the question for me is, why can't we do what Ms. Barisoni said, what Teresa said, and just approve this tonight, and then the city and county will work it out?
Thanks, Jim. I assume that you're Mr. Barisoni? We'll come to you in just a minute.
Well, I have a question for Jim. Would Scotts Valley somewhat delay, or what would be the implication if we didn't sign it tonight in terms of Scotts Valley?
We've got a legal, one of the agreements that was made in 1990. I'm sorry. Are you done?
I'm just wondering, I mean, if we don't agree to this tonight, what is Scotts Valley going to do in terms of letting the library move in or not move in?
Can I answer real quick? We do have a contract with the person who's doing the shelving is also doing the moving, and that's because they're tied together because the shelves are coming down, getting cut down, refurbished, and moved over. That's a freight train that we can't stop right now. It's scheduled to start very soon because the shelving should have arrived by now. So pretty much we're going to be moved out by beginning of June. Because the person doing the move is also a subcontractor, so he can be in the new building where staff can't, because he can be working in the new building. So that contractor is scheduled to come in. So we will be moved over, but we may not be able, we can't have staff in there operating it as a library until the lease is settled with whoever we sign it with.
My question is there anything that would, if we delay tonight, that would impact that decision? I mean, if we delayed this for a week or 2 weeks and came back and had a special meeting and decided then once the county and Scotts Valley have ironed out these differences, we've got enough time.
Danger. So I have an answer now. I'm going to take off my library hat, put on my Scotts Valley hat. In the agreement that we revised in 2009, the city agreed that we would pay rent if the library wasn't delivered on time. One of the things that hasn't been talked about by the city leasing this great new library for a buck a year to the library system, we're saving the library system $84,000 a year in rent. And one of the provisions is if we don't have this moved in, if we're not moved in by June 30, if you're not moved in, that library is not open, the city of Scotts Valley is on the hook to pay rent. Given some of the things that have been happening from the county, I'm not overly optimistic that we would get a lot of leeway from the county if we were to not deliver that library by the 30th of June. That's what, $8,000, $9,000 a month that Scotts Valley would have to pay. And I can't sign up for that as a Scotts Valley City Council member, especially when there's no reason for us to not approve this tonight.
Was that the negotiation of the last, in 2010?
No.
That we would push out the, because I thought the date was actually went beyond already.
No, I don't understand.
I thought the date when Scotts Valley was supposed to start paying rent had already passed, by several months.
No, it has not.
Okay, so I think, Mr. Barisoni, what we would like to hear at this point is, Teresa, if you can restate the suggestion that you made so that we can make sure understand it.
That the Joint Powers Board authorize me to execute a lease agreement subject to the city and county working out their differences in the pass-through agreement.
So that, the question that we have is, what are the ramifications if this board were to authorize that?
Can we talk outside for a second?
Yes. All right, it'd be a good time to take a break if you
take a break.
3 minutes.
In the JPA agreement that you're discussing tonight, and Dana has the text of those amendments for the JPA agreement that you're discussing tonight. So you have two choices. You can come back later, or you can authorize Teresa to execute the lease upon the county agreeing to the five amendments to the lease that Dana would read into the record, and the county designating the JPA as the lessee pursuant to the terms of the pass-through agreement. Otherwise, if you want to wait, you can just come back, call a special meeting after that's been done, and give the authorization to Teresa. That's my idea.
Thank you. David?
We had a discussion before you got here about the opening for the Scotts Valley branch. And how much time do you think it would take to complete this if we were to postpone to a special meeting?
I don't know. I defer to Dana because that's really between her and the city's the county and the city of Scotts Valley. They're the determinants.
I think it would be done by now, but for poor Kristen's willing vacation. So about a week.
Okay. And when would be the special meeting if we were to postpone this?
I would say the sooner the better.
Slow for a week from tonight.
A week, in case there's any issues still. If we go that route.
Well, we could do it for 2 weeks from tonight, subject to being canceled, if we wanted to designate to Teresa, if we're ready to sign the lease, the Scott Valley and the city and Mr. Garasoni all agree.
David, do you have any further?
I'd like a discussion to see about just if we can, you know, what the impact would be to postpone this, to have those issues ironed out and then have a lease for next Monday, if we could bring it back for a special meeting.
I just had a clarifying question I didn't get your name. For the
county.
Is the county going to designate the JPA tomorrow as a designee? Is that my understanding of what's going to happen?
It's on the agenda. It's on the agenda right now.
Is there some reason that would get pulled off the agenda? Or?
Well, based on what's happening tonight, it's possible that they won't designate the JPA. What this lease agreement was supposed to be approved conditioned upon the board designating tomorrow. So now we can try to flip it, and the board could designate the JPA tomorrow conditioned on this lease agreement being completed.
So the big concern I've got over delaying it, and again, library hat off, Scotts Valley hat on, we have 12 days of margin to play with, or the city of Scotts Valley is on the hook for 10 grand in rent, and I don't want to sign up for that, number one. And number two, we heard from Mr. Barrisoni, there's no need for us to have to postpone this. The JPA is not a direct participant if there's a question between the county and us about working out these details. We heard from Mr. Barrisoni, we can approve this tonight, and then the city and the county can work this out. So I don't see why we wouldn't want to do that, especially as a spur for all of us to make sure that we can get any final details worked out.
Well, I can give you the language that would allow that to happen.
Would allow what? It's the board's decision what happens.
The changes to the lease agreement that we could then authorize Teresa Landers, subject to these changes in the lease agreement, to execute this, then subject to the county making that designation.
Would you want some copies? Would that be easier when reading it for people? And then
how long are the amendments?
Make copies?
It's fairly, there's some
photocopies.
There's some edits, and then there's one longer.
Okay.
provision, and one of the provisions is what's in front of us here.
Okay.
And I can, if you've got it in front of you, I can take you through most of them.
Okay, they're not very long.
Yeah, these are very quick.
Okay.
There's one that's longer. Section 2.01 on page 8 of the packet, about four lines down, where it says the then acting executive director of the Scotts Valley Redevelopment Agency.
Actually, I'd like from turning the following along.
Add in for its successor.
Could you say that one again? I'm sorry.
And where are we now? We're on page
about
8.
Five lines down from the top of 2.01, where it says, from the then acting executive director of the Scotts Valley Redevelopment Agency, add in for its successor. The very last line, there's a D missing from the word regulate.
So I'm fine with both of those two.
Then.
John, do you need a pen? We really got him on late notice.
Then in 3.02, the changes that were passed out.
So that would be the best.
302.
This one got 12.01. Let me hold off on that one. Because that's a longer section. If we go back to page 24, the county's address is 701 Ocean Street. That's fine. That's 700. And then going to Exhibit C, which is a list of the trade fixtures. Page 31 in your document. Under exceptions, delete number 1, and then renumber from that. Teresa, maybe this one. This one's awesome. I can read it.
Yeah.
But if you want a copy of it, we can do that. So this is 12.01, page 19 in the document.
So is this the second paragraph of 12.01?
Yeah, you could make it or just make some longer paragraph. I don't think that structure matters. It says, in the event the Library Joint Powers Authority terminates at the end of the current term, 2017, where the county terminates its membership in the Library Joint Powers Authority, the parties agree that the county shall be substituted as the tenant in this agreement for so long as the county operates a Tier 2 public library or its equivalent, and all other provisions of this agreement shall remain the same.
Can you reread that?
Could we?
I think can you reread that one more
that.
Time?
Can we make a copy of that one page?
Thank you.
So it's leaving all of the current language in 1201 and adding.
It's just an addition to what's here.
Do you want to have any copies?
Just make.
Just the 11 of the attorneys go 9, 10, 12.
That's why I didn't work on
15. 15.
22.
And Mark, that would be it as far as the changes to what we have.
What's in the packet?
Okay, Jim.
So, Mark's change in 12.01 is very direct. It's what the county is going to be doing tomorrow when they approve their pass-through agreement. They want to start preparing, apparently, for if the county terminates from the JPA and what happens. And I guess I don't understand what our responsibility as JPA members. Why would we want to make it easy for a jurisdiction to withdraw? Or why would we want to make it easier for the library system that we currently have that we all like to not exist in its current form. That is incomprehensible to me. So I don't understand why we would want to approve 1201. I think what we should do on 1201 is go back to the wording that we had that was suggested in April, that we had negotiated, that the city attorney had negotiated with Mr. Barristoni. And once again, those are the two parties to this lease, the city of Scotts Valley and the library JPA. So the original 12.1 didn't have the sentence that's on page 19 that talks, I'm on page 19 of the staff report, the last sentence, the one in bold that's in italicized, that says that the tenant can assign their rights to another government agency. Given what seems like a clear attempt by the county to prepare the way for them to get out of the JPA, I think it's a monumental mistake for us to have that addition in here. We should not be about letting jurisdictions out, making it easier for them to get out. We're all in this together, and we need to have that reflected, it seems to be, in all the documents that we have.
Okay, Ellen, and then Mark.
It's just important to remember what this is. This is a lease, and this has no impact on anybody's ability to get in or out of the JPA. That is dealt with in the JPA agreement, how you would get out if you wanted to get out. So it just doesn't do that. The JPA agreement is a completely separate agreement, and those, the terms of that talk about how you're going to get out.
You got it?
Oh, yeah.
Make sure, John.
Well, Ellen's right. This change doesn't talk about how a jurisdiction gets out. What it does is talk about what happens if a jurisdiction gets out. And it talks about life after the JPA. And that's the problem that I've got as a board member. Why are we, as a JPA board, interested in making it easy for jurisdictions to pull out of the system?
But again, going back to what Ellen says, that's not what this does. That relationship in the pass-through agreement and the joint powers agreement stands on its own. This, as a lease, and as a prudent lease, should contemplate any eventuality for the future in order to be reflective of the agreements that are there. By putting this provision in, this aligns this agreement, or this lease agreement, with the existing JPA and with the existing pass-through agreement. That's all that does. This does not facilitate anything further, just should that happen. This is not making any path easier or harder. It's just articulating what is. And that's one of the reasons why these changes had to get made, was to make sure that this lease agreement, whatever happens with respect to the JPA, whatever happens with respect to the pass-through agreement, the idea is that this lease, that we're not going to be jeopardizing the fact that there's a library in Scotts Valley, this provision allows for.
I don't know how anybody can read the language here and have any ambiguity about what it says. I'm going to read it one time real quick. It's so crystal clear. In the event the library JPA terminates at the end of the current term, or the county terminates its membership in the JPA, the parties agree the county shall be substituted as a tenant in the library site and building lease. It's about helping the county get out. It's about what happens so the county can grab things if they get out. Why in God's name would this board want to help make that easier?
And I think you, Dana, you wanted to say something here?
I drafted it, and I can hopefully clarify it's perfect. The language has nothing to do with staying in the JPA or getting out of the JPA. Let's go back to 1990. The pass-through agreement between the city of Scotts Valley and the county of Santa Cruz says that Scotts Valley will build a library and lease it to the county for $1 a year, so long as it's in use. Now, the county is willing to designate the JPA to run the Scotts Valley Library. But in the event that the JPA falls apart for reasons that are either within the county's control or without the county's, it doesn't matter. If the JPA falls apart, the pass-through agreement still says that Scotts Valley has to provide a library, and somebody has to run it. So if the JPA falls apart, the county becomes the tenant and runs the library for the lease term, not in perpetuity, for the lease term, which is 30 years plus two 10-year extensions. That's what that language is intended to do.
I have a question, and then Lee, and did I see hands up over here before? And Nancy? Okay. So my question is, I understand that the pass-through agreement said that, and that was negotiated whenever. Doesn't our JPA agreement talk about what happens when there is termination of the JPA? So my question is, whether this were in here or not, wouldn't the pass-through agreement still be in effect and our JPA agreement still be in effect, whatever it says? And so the question I would have is, so not being an attorney, why is this even required?
It's what happens to the lease.
Right, you have to contemplate what happens to the lease agreement if the JPA goes away.
No, we don't. This board does not have to. If you think we, the city of Scotts Valley, are doing something wrong, you guys come after us. That's why you don't have to involve the board.
You don't have to. Your other choice is to leave the building to the County of Santa Cruz, and then this board doesn't have to worry about it.
Well, the other choice that we heard from our attorney, Mr. Barisoni, is to approve this language tonight.
That's exactly what he said.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Barisoni. We have an option before us tonight to approve this lease as is, and the city and county can work things out to pursue it to this lease.
No, what I suggested was that you would have the option of having the terms that were just recited by Supervisor Stone. If the Scotts Valley and the county can agree on their pass-through agreement, and this board can agree to put those terms in the lease, then you could direct your director to sign the lease with those terms in it upon getting designated by the county.
Wouldn't we also have the ability to direct the director to proceed with this lease, even if those terms weren't in there? If the terms that were in here were the ones that were originally proposed?
I don't think it would get you any place, because the county has the city in a position where they have to designate. This board would be subject to a lawsuit saying that this contract is void because they don't have the authority to enter into the contract because they haven't been designated by the county as a lessee. So what we've talked about is having the lease rewritten with the terms that are acceptable to the county, and with the lease in that form, you could direct your director to execute it upon being designated by the county as the lessee.
But if we wanted to, we could choose to approve a lease that doesn't have those terms with the county.
You could do that, but it wouldn't get you any place. So you could simply lose a lawsuit. You'd be a lawsuit for a breach of contract.
But aren't the two parties to the contract the city of Scotts Valley and the library JPA?
You don't have the ability. The JPA doesn't have the ability to enter into a contract until it's been designated by the county to do so. That's what your pass-through agreement says. Right now, the city of Scotts Valley is contractually obligated to enter into a lease agreement with the county. The only way this JPA can legally enter into the lease agreement is if the county exercises its discretion to designate the JPA to serve as the lessee instead of the county. They haven't done that yet. So what is being suggested tonight is Supervisor Stone has read the terms, which would make it acceptable for the county to designate the JPA to be the lessee. And as I understand it, based upon my conversations with Dana, that the county, if at this point, is not prepared to designate the JPA until these terms are incorporated into the agreement.
When you say it wouldn't get us anywhere, I don't understand why we couldn't approve this agreement tonight, assuming that the county does designate the JPA, and then the city and the county work it out. What is it doesn't get you anywhere mean? Why doesn't the board have the ability to do that?
Well, you do, but as I understand it from the county, is that unless these terms are incorporated into the lease, they're not going. So,
but that's sort of a political judgment. Your job's not to kind of help interpret for what the county wants to do. As our representatives, we have the authority, we have the ability to approve this, subject to us working this out with the county. I mean, it's not going to get us anywhere. That's your perspective from a policy perspective.
I don't make policy. I'm just repeating what I heard from talking to the various parties. I guess you can do that, and that's your decision to do it. I just don't know if it would serve your objectives.
Thank you. So Jim, I think we heard the answer from that. And Lee, you have something to say, and then David.
It seems to me that the language that's being proposed in 12.01 is sort of redundant with what's in Section 3.03, Early Termination, which talks about if the JPA is no longer in existence or Scotts Valley ceases to be a member of it, then in the event of such termination, landlords shall still be bound by any ongoing obligations of the pass-through agreement and any amendments thereof. So to me, all of this is actually not necessary because it's sort of summed up in that section there.
No,
am I not understanding that correctly?
That provision has a different meaning.
What's the difference?
This talks about the city of Scotts Valley getting out of the JPA. And what we could do is collapse those two provisions. If the new language that the county is proposing in Section 12 talks about the JPA terminating of its own, just expiring, or the county getting out, and this provision talks about the city of Scotts Valley.
Could combine.
David?
Well, I'd like to make a motion if we could authorize Teresa to work with the city of Scotts Valley and county council to iron out the lease agreement so that we can prepare for the grand opening of the Scotts Valley in time for an opening in June 18th. So whatever it takes to get an agreement, I don't know if we need a special meeting for it to come back to us, but I'd like to just make that motion.
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Well, my question would be, what if she's not able? Are we making Teresa the decision maker, or are we making her just the signer when the attorneys have agreed, or what exactly?
I think I'd like to see it ratified. So, if the issue is between the county and the city of Scotts Valley, and you can reach an agreement on that. Teresa would sign off on that.
Yeah.
She didn't have to come back
us. That would be fine. But I guess, what do we do if they don't reach an agreement? It seems like we need to have a fallback to come for this board to make a decision.
I'm open to a friendly amendment.
So I'll make a friendly amendment that we schedule a special meeting for 2 weeks from tonight on the chance, which I hope doesn't happen, that the attorneys are not able to work out this agreement. I guess if I could continue, just trying to think out loud, where does that leave the county for its meeting tomorrow? Because we don't have another meeting next week. It's 2 weeks before we have
So the county could go ahead and designate the library JPA conditioned on the lease terms being negotiated successfully. But there's a new issue that arose today, which is this business about the Tier 2 library and whether this one meets it or not. And that is going to require the amendment to the pass-through agreement that your board is going to look at tomorrow be modified. So I'm going to try to do that tonight with Kirsten.
Okay. Mark, you had your hand up, and then Jim, and then Lee.
What Mr. Barisani was recommending, this is what I was hoping that the motion would be, the agreement or the terms, the changes that I read into the record are essentially what's been negotiated between Pearson and Dana.
So
that's the basis for an agreement. So if this board says, gives Teresa the authorization to sign the agreement for those changes, contingent upon the county designating the library as the tenant for it to fulfill this agreement, then that's all we need to do. So
Sounds like there's a disagreement on those terms.
So, Jim.
Okay. So, with all due respect to Ellen's amendment, I'm not in favor of that. It totally undermines the spirit of the motion, which is to let's make sure there's not a delay. Let's make sure Scotts Valley doesn't have to pay an additional amount of money, an additional month's rent, or even more than 1 month's rent. Let's just go ahead and get this done because of the early optimism that we heard from Mark and Ellen that the city and the county are going to be able to work that out. So I don't think that amendment would be helpful at all. I think it would completely undercut the motion. As far as the provisions that Mark read, as I said, 12.01 is them taking their language about the county withdrawing from the system and setting up life after the system so the county gets the Scotts Valley Library. And why we would want to entertain that as board members is beyond me. So I don't think we should include Mark's suggestions on 12.01. I think we should include the initial language that was in this lease when it came before us in April.
So if I may clarify then, let me ask you, David, to clarify the motion then, because I'm confused now as to the interpretation of that motion after hearing your comments, Jeff, since you seconded it.
Well, it was the amendment, I think, that...
The
amendments.
I understand that. But so, David, what I heard is that we would authorize Teresa to execute the lease contingent upon the county and the city of Scotts Valley working out the pass through. I don't know how to say this correctly.
Working out,
ensuring that the lease aligns with the pass-through agreement, or is consistent with the pass-through agreement, which is what these amendments do, correct?
Right.
And is that what you meant?
Yeah,
I
don't think we need
different?
To. That's exactly what I meant. So we don't have to discuss the details of that. They can discuss that amongst themselves to make sure that lease agreements comply with the terms of the pass-through agreement.
So as long as the county, city of Scotts Valley, agree with on the pass-through agreement and agree with the implementation of that pass-through agreement expressed in this lease.
That's right. And so that would include all of the minor revisions and then the...
Or subject to negotiation between the city and
the county. The amendment that I would add to that, I don't know if this is a motion or not, I can't accept the changes that Mark proposed in 12.01. And I've said why several times why I think that's a mistake, so I won't go into it here. So I don't know if that's a friendly amendment I need to make.
I think that that what David has said, and so maybe you're misunderstanding this now, that that David did not include in the language of the motion any specifics about these five amendments. The language of the motion was that the county and the city of Scotts Valley come to agreement on amendment language for the lease that is consistent with the pass-through agreement. So it doesn't have to come back to this board because it really has nothing to do with this board.
Bingo.
And so I would really like to not have to see it again. And I would like the county and the city of Scotts Valley to do that, ensure that it's consistent with pass-through agreement and whatever that amendment language is.
What is it that we, just a quick question if I may. So what is it that we would be approving, assuming that we're able to come to that agreement? I mean, don't we have to approve? We have to approve a lease.
Well,
right?
I would think that we would be approving the parties to enter into that lease, and with the understanding that it's not going to delay this opening. And that's I don't want us to create another hurdle.
I think what you're doing is you're authorizing Teresa to enter into the lease, subject to the attorneys agreeing to the term. My concern was that sounds great, but what if Scotts Valley or county, what if they don't agree? We're not building in, there's a 10% chance that something goes wrong. We're not building in any kind of a fallback position. So if they don't agree, that's when the opening.
Ellen was talking about 2 weeks.
I was just saying, just schedule something.
Get on the books now.
Get on the books just in case.
Is that acceptable?
He's nodding.
Well, he's nodding.
Cogitation.
needs to verbalize.
I can deal with that. What I can't do is we are going to approve. Is it true that we're going to approve a lease subject to these terms?
No. You're leaving it to me to negotiate the lease, basically.
So then the motion is to not approve this or anything. It's just to tell you if you can get something, if something gets worked out.
To sign it, to take over once it's agreed.
Once the two parties agree, then you can sign on behalf of the library board.
Right. And I will be consulting with my attorney to make sure that whatever you two agree to doesn't harm the library. But that's what you're trusting me to do, is that whatever you two decide, the city of Scotts Valley and the county agree to, it's okay with the joint powers board isn't, the JPA isn't harmed.
Well, it assumes that without us, and maybe we should make this clear in motion, which needs another amendment, but it would assume that we're all okay with the rest of the language in this lease, that we don't have issues. Because if we have issues with anything else about this lease, then we shouldn't be moving ahead.
And I guess that's my point about 1201. I do have an issue with that.
But that's not in the lease.
No, right.
Things that Mark said aren't in the lease.
Right. That's correct.
We're not approving a lease tonight. They might end up being in the lease, but we're not approving
them. But Teresa would decide to put them in.
Well, the city of Scotts Valley and the county would decide to put them in.
The Scotts Valley
attorneys
and John and Dana would decide.
So, from the standpoint of a friendly amendment to get on the books, a special session, so that in case the city and Scotts Valley are not able to come to agreement, we as a board will need to figure something out.
Figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It would seem to me that it's easier for us to approve what we've got in front of us. And
we should vote on that,
well,
Barbara.
We have a motion on the table.
I don't know if he seconded. Did you?
Yeah, he seconded.
Seconded it, so it's on the table.
Yeah. We have a motion on the table, and we have a friendly amendment to that.
It's been accepted.
It's been accepted by the maker of the motion, and I believe you as well.
If we could, I'd do a week if it's possible, if you guys could reach agreement in a week. I mean, we talked about that up front, like how long will it take? I heard county council say,
I thought 2 weeks was just
that. That would make sure it's done, because you said a week. So
I mean, if it's a week, then you got to start noticing it and stuff.
On Thursday, we can do 48 hours.
What's it for special meeting?
24 hours.
24 hours.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Two weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks. Okay.
So we have a motion and a second. Would you like me to restate it again? Are we okay with it?
I think we could ask everybody in the audience to restate that.
Well, Kira has it on tape, so we will get it right. So, with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, John, for coming out. And you too, thanks. And thank Kristen for us. Jim, when you talk.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Towards the end of the year, I mean, everything is, there's a few things that are over, a few things that are under, pretty much explanations for all of it. We went over them at the Finance Committee meeting. We did identify a couple of areas that are very underspent that we talked about the budget that we're going to need to carry over, and that mostly have to do with the integrated library system, the ILS. We haven't spent all the money this year, but we do have obligations to pay for it in the new fiscal year, and also a grant that we received for staff training that is over in August, so we're we spend some of the money, but we won't spend all of it until August. So those will need to get carried, and that's why they're underspent. Our cash situation position, our pool cash was over $1 million in March, which is good news, and that marks 1 year that we have not been in the red.
We should celebrate that.
We should have brought cupcakes. So anyway, I know it's late, so I'm not going to belabor unless there's questions about it.
Any questions on the March financials?
Projections at the end of the year kind of come up when we talk about budget. So, okay, the draft 11-12 budget. So, you have the document in front of you where kind of the budget narrative. We're a little late doing this year. So, basically, what I need tonight is just recommendation to give direction if there's any kind of changes that you want to see going forward in the budget. There are still some numbers that are settling, but let me just start at the beginning here. We did really well looking back over fiscal year 10-11 and our key accomplishments. We did a number of things that will save money, improve efficiency, work to start us modernizing the library system. We implemented self-check system-wide, thanks to the Friends for providing the money for the equipment, as well as help with the barcoding. We had got a more cost-effective replacement phone system. We saved, we're going to save about, I don't know the exact number next year, about $40,000 or so, and then, or $70,000, and then a lot, over $100,000 in following years. We have one more month year to pay back the city for the buildup of the first system. The staffing plan got kind of rolled into the service model. The New Scotts Valley Library will open in the spring 2011. And we did start implementing the action step defined in the strategic plan. This is one that's going to carry over to next year, and we're going to have to review those and look at the action steps in light of the new service model. And I know there's some staff cringing at that thought, but we're going to need to do that. We wanted to restore landscape maintenance, and that's, we did not get the funds to do that, but we have a maintenance worker, Daniel Ruiz, who got help, who gets help many days through the Department of Corrections program, so he's using those individuals to help him get landscaping done. I still get a lot of complaints about how bad some places look, and Aptos did have a community day, I think it was the Lions Club that came out and did a day of work, but it's not the same as having regular landscaping, but the best we can do. We did get our full E-rate reimbursement from AT&T going back to January 2009.
Teresa, is that, mm-hmm. That number there just $2 signs, and I didn't know if...
Oh, yeah. Well,
if there was a number missing?
No.
It's just an exclamation dollar sign.
Exclamation point. No. It's a miracle is what it is.
So it is $39,000.
It is $39,000, yes. Although I think that went up, I got a statement today, and I think it went up by $141. It was right when I wrote it. And we are contracting with the Water Department to do facilities maintenance for us. We do for them in downstairs of the headquarters building. I've listed the grants we got this year. Janice Driscoll, I think, deserves a round of applause. She writes them and she gets them. And she's working on some more. So this is just great. Trying to do things that we would want to do anyway so that they're not added workload in terms of what they're doing for us. Partnerships have been very important to us, and I've just listed major ones here, although there's probably a million others. We are working right now with the County Office of Education. I mentioned that in the monthly report, and Janice actually had a meeting with them today. They've got some money to give us to do parenting programs this summer, and we're looking at tutoring programs in the fall. They will fund We put it together, but they pay for it, so I'll give you more details as those develop. And they approached us.
Do we have to use their personnel? Or
no.
Could these be contractors?
Yes, they'll be contractors or staff. What we'll do this summer is we'll use our staff that's already trained, and then we'll use their money to hire subs to cover for our staff who need to be pulled out from their regular duties.
Wow, that's so great.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Nicely done.
So thank you, County Office of Education. Well, Jack's on the board for that. I'm going to ask them for an accounting. So I think that's when we're developing. And we've got a couple of major donations this year. Mr. Lee Corday, the $89,000. We also did access, I decided this was a rainy day, and so this is principal that we accessed at the Fleming Trust, which is one of the few trusts we actually can use the principal from. And this one I love, the Penny Ice Creamery held a fundraiser. And the reason that none of us went, I didn't even invite you, was because they held it the night of a board meeting. Ask me where I was.
Could have delivered.
I was going to say, we were talking about service model, people were offering cookies.
Some seconds.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Let me make a comment. They are open after tonight's board meeting. See, they're right across the street if you want to go.
I think they don't they close at 8? They close at 9.
I think they are at 9, so if we
okay,
hurry.
So we need to hurry. So are we done? So year-end projections, our final revenue at about 11.2 million and expenditures of about 10.8, and of the about 401,000 balance, I'm estimating about 125,000 will need to be carried to next year. And that's a little bit higher than what I gave the finance committee, but the ILS, when I talked with detail with Dan, we upped it. He's not going to spend as much this year, more next year. So we're looking at, if all goes well, ending the year with a surplus of about 200 and almost 276,000, so 275,781. So that gives us some leeway to go either way, so it's looking good, is what it is. So looking towards next year, and the draft budget reflects these priorities, obviously the big one is implementing the new service model and staffing plan, and costs for this do permeate throughout the budget, and I did hit some of the highlights as I went through each of the areas. We talked about development appropriate performance issues, and I promised to come back to you in September with that information. And between that and the new ILS, that's going to take a lot of staff resources, primarily staff time, and we just can't underestimate how much time is going to be spent in the next 6 months on the transition, and the new ILS coming in the middle of that. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but we sat down one day and figured out that the only staff member who has ever been through a system migration is me. We have no staff who have ever been through a computer system migration for a library, and trust me, it's a lot of work and a lot of impact. Everybody's routines, everything you're used to doing changes, and and there's always glitches. It's never smooth. So we need to revise those action steps in the strategic plan. We do have budgeted a facilities master plan, which will probably come in the second half of the year. Fostering community partnerships is always important, but it's also dependent on resources, and that's staff resources, and so that may be a little more difficult for us to accomplish. I know Janice is out there doing it, but she's also going to get sidelined as she has to reposition and reorganize for the new service model. And, of course, integrating the new ILS. So revenues are, once again, we're mostly dependent on sales and maintenance of effort. We won't have our final estimates till June, which I always find interesting, that we have to pass a budget before we have an estimate of what our revenues are, but it seems to work, so there we go. We're looking at grants all the time. We are anticipating the elimination of the State Public Library Fund, $70,000, and I will have a letter for you next month from Santa Clara County, which because of they get a lot more money because of the transaction-based reimbursement, and they are going to start charging for library cards if you don't live in Santa Clara County. Or not even Santa Clara County, but the district, which doesn't include San Jose. I might help with my geography here. Palo Alto, are they in Santa Clara?
No. They're in Santa Clara County.
They're in San Jose. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's two others, big ones.
Palo Alto's in Santa Clara County.
Oh, sorry.
Los Gatos.
San Jose.
So the cities that are not a part of the county.
Cities are not a part of the county will have to pay, which could impact some of our patrons in Boulder Creek, who I know use Saratoga. they would have to pay, and anybody who might use Campbell's in Santa Clara County would have to pay $80 to get a card. Mm-hmm. And they're the first library in the state to do that.
Make a comment, there might be a Proposition 26 issue there. We voted for Proposition 26 last November, and among other things, it said that if you discriminate who you charge a fee to, if that converts it to a tax, it needs to be approved by the voters.
I'm not sure that would count, but anyway, that's their problem. Anyway, that's what their board voted to do. So they get a lot more than, they get a lot of money. They're a major net lender, which we're not, a net borrower. So we are anticipating having the money for staff pursuing an MLS to continue for at least one more year. You heard the Friends tonight. They're kind of changing gear a little bit based on some of the changes we're undergoing. So they are giving us some money. And in terms of expenditures, personnel is kind of a bizarre way to build it. What we did was we took, city gives us projections of what personnel costs will be for the following year. So we took that and split it in half for June to December. And then from January to June, we used the service model projections. And we know how those are just projection, and we don't, hopefully it'll get a little bit more definite before we approve the June budget, but we don't really know. Jack has an update. I did mention in here that we're waiting for some final personnel numbers and possible reduction in workers' compensation costs. I'm going to let Jack address that right now.
Okay. We continue to refine the numbers, and assuming we have the same complement of positions and titles, which we know is going to change, but assuming it stays the same, we actually refined the numbers to reduce it by $46,000. And I know in particular, we've been asking questions, and the Finance Committee talked about the relationship of benefit costs to regular salaries. And it's gone up a little bit more than what I had been saying earlier. And in the current year, the benefit, the ratio of benefits to regular salaries is about 43%. And it's going up to the numbers are close to 49% in the numbers in front of you. But literally after these adjustments, it's 47.5%. So in other words, benefit cost next year is projected would be 47.5% of regular salaries next year. And that 4.5% increase of 43% to 47% really has two components. There's a 1.8% of salary increase in PERS retirement rate. So that's a fact. PERS is going to charge 1.8%. And the other is a bit of an estimate with lots of assumptions, but there's a 2.7% of salary increase for health benefits. And with that as a that's a salary, but as compared to what's being incurred this year, it's about close to a 13%. And previously, I've been talking about a 10% increase in health premiums we're projecting for next year. And that was a simplification. In reality, there's lots of volatility in health costs. One of the things that happens is that the cost per employee, cost of the premium, is dependent upon a lot of factors, most particularly the size of your family. So if you're a single person, there's one rate. If you have dependents, there's another. If you have full family, multiple dependents, it's a higher rate. So it can, depending on which plan you pick, it can be anywhere from, I think it's $8,000 to $20,000 as a library cost. And so if your family size changes, or if we fill a vacancy with a person with a higher cost plan than what we assumed, that causes some volatility. So long way of saying, we currently project close to a 13% increase in health costs next year. So health and retirement, again, are pushing up the overall benefits.
Jim?
So, Jack, I know earlier you had forecast 10% a year for several years, basically
right,
as far as we could see into the future. This 13%, is that 13% just this year, and then you think it'll be closer to 10, or do you think 13 is going to be the annual amount?
Well, I don't really know, but I would say 10% in the out years.
Okay.
We're also thinking there's a couple other factors, one of which, would be the new health plan requirements to keep dependents on a bit longer, the non-dependent kids until they're 26. We think that's a component as well.
Okay.
But no, I still would would say 10% after next year. That's, but it's still an estimate. It's a guess.
So I will be adjusting that in the final budget, but I didn't have that until today. And then we also, I'm not going to go through every detail here, the reclassification of the IT staff and scheduled to occur in last fiscal year is almost done, so that'll be implemented in early 11-12. So some of those, I factored in some of those increases happening as of July 1 and other changes that I haven't seen the report yet, so I still don't know exactly what's being recommended, but based on what I had in the service model, some changes occurring in January along with the rest of the service model. IT, we did save money in software maintenance this year. Apart from the ILS, we did save some money. And we also included in this budget a number of different software packages that are key to making this transition to this new service model work, things that will make us able to be more efficient and do more with less. So those are built in. There are things like the volunteer management software. There's a statistical software package to help automatically know the statistics we do every month, and I was doing them, Kira's now doing them, and she's having just as much fun as I did. They'll get pulled automatically from the system, so you won't have us dealing with this and making this, and reporting them directly to the state, so that's, I don't know, 80 hours of work at least, if not more, reporting to the state. I don't know how long it took Kira last year. I know the year I did, it took forever. There's also, this company also has a survey package that you can have, so you can continue surveying your public in different ways, and looking forward to the performance measure issue. We're going to go ahead and get that too. So there's several different software packages that we're looking at. We talked about the telecommunications, and some of these things come right from the service model, the $25,000 in technology, so that you can go to remote reference. Library materials, we use the numbers from the service model. We also factored in the cost of doing more pre-processing and pre-cataloging. Staff development, training on the new ILS will be primary. Also training staff in their new jobs will be something we need to do. You know, go figure, but yeah, we need to do that. We're doing a lot of training now through webinars, which really leverages our dollars quite well. So we didn't really raise the training budget, but we finding we can accomplish a lot that way. Utilities, no, and I made a mistake here on the rent. The rent is actually it's 7,000 times 12, which is 84, so I missed a month, sorry. you were saying that, but wait a minute, where did I get that from? We just guessed on utilities for the new library, and then we did not factor in additional utilities based on the new schedules. I'm hoping it's just not going to be significant enough to really break the bank, but it's hard to know if we're open more hours or different hours. We know what the impact is on janitorial. That's very easy to figure out, because that's based on days of the week that you have service. So that was easy to figure out with utilities, is how much more gas are we going to use, or electricity is hard to measure.
It seems like they could, on the utilities, just figure what the percentage increase is. You know, not look at it in any great detail, but just, you know, we currently spent $10,000 and increasing our hours by whatever it was, 50%.
They don't see the, it won't translate to a 50% increase in utility costs, so I don't think. I really don't think it'll be that much. I mean, there's a certain base that you're going to have no matter how many hours you're open, so the incremental cost. I mean, I can work more
and
on
how much are utilities? I mean, is it big enough number to worry about?
I don't think it's enough to worry about. I mean, it's our total utilities.
$260,000.
So it could be $100,000. I don't think it'll go up that much, but
We'll
look at it a little more closely and see if we can, if we have any time, we can compare when we, maybe when we're down, how much we save, maybe just didn't have time to deal with that kind of detail. Building operations and maintenance, I talked about janitorial. We did have an increase, besides the extra hours, janitorial went up. supplies, we had budgeted in the service plan, service model for $5,000 for office furniture and equipment, which is money we haven't had in there in years, and we need. So we just, it's a pretty modest amount. Cost for our collection agency went down. Cost to be a member of Pacific Library Partnership went up. These are all really small amounts. Special funds, we established the two special funds as talked about in the service model, the vehicle replacement, and we did move out that vehicle replacement a couple of years so that we started so that we could get some money in there, and we did that. If we do end up outsourcing Courier, we save on vehicles, so we're able to reposition, get rid of the really old vehicles we were going to have to replace, so it extends when we have to start replacing vehicles. That helped a little bit. And then we have the technology, we call it technology replacement fund, but it's really a misnomer because it's not meant to sit there and wait for when we need it. We know we need it every year. So it's really a technology fund, but that was talked about in the service plan. And then reserve funds, the cash flow emergency reserve fund. And capital projects, pretty much the facilities master plan. And then David had asked at the finance meeting if I would include the debt service that we have, or the debt that we have, and so hopefully I got it right. Took it right out of the document Jack had given us. And then finally you have an ESTA, a summary of 10-11, 11-12, and I threw in just on the service model just to see how close we came, and actually pretty close, other than, you know, we had the questions about the benefits and didn't know where that was going to go. So, but in terms of like supplies and other things, we came out very close. And I apologize on the pie chart, David, the shading didn't come out very well.
Thank you, though.
But you got the percentages there. He asked for a pie chart for that. So then we did a working subcommittee to talk about how to present the actual budget in a way that we thought would make sense. So hope you like it. And any questions? It's kind of an odd year. I mean, the service model enabled us to have a lot of it kind of pre-done. You've seen a lot of it already kind of ad nauseum for some of you.
David, then Ellen.
No, I don't have a question. I just mentioned Ellen.
I'm sorry. Ellen, then me.
And I didn't actually have a question. I just wanted to say that I really appreciated the way you put this together with the explanation first by the categories. I thought it was good. And, it seems like a really good, first crack at it.
Lee?
Yeah, I just had a quick question with the service model that we had adopted. Did that didn't have any money for a reserve in 11-12?
No, correct. Correct, it did not.
It had a fund balance.
Adding to it this year,
but as you can see, if we have a positive fund balance at the end of the year, we may want to do that.
Any other questions or comments on this draft?
I know I need to update some of the numbers by June, and then it should be hopefully ready to adopt.
Do you need
action? It's informational, right?
It's in direction. If there's anything specific you want me to do differently, other than I'm already telling you, I know I need to update some of the numbers, particularly personnel related.
I would just hope, just suggest you look at the utilities.
Okay.
Don't want us to get blindsided by $100,000 bill.
Yeah, I think during the task force process, we did some work on the utilities, but
good job. So let's move on to the final agenda item, the timeline for transition.
This is just a summary of, to give you a sense of working on the transition to the new service model, the various functions or steps that are going to be followed in the process, and I gave you the milestone of when we kind of expect those, and in parentheses I kind of gave a contingency in case things slip. So this would be everything from the beginning to the end, including discussions with all the various bargaining units, and doing it in sections. And we're currently talking to the, doing the meet and confer on the courier service. I did a final pass-through on the job descriptions today. Those should be out for consideration within the next week or so. So this is just to give you an idea of the timeline we're working under. And this has also been distributed to staff. And
it'll be a busy 6 months.
Yes, it will.
All right. Parking lot review.
No change from last month.
Okay.
Although I will add that, just as a heads up, that in about October, we have the sad task of figuring out how to replace Barbara, who I'm not sure we can. So to find
that's
somebody
a given.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Take her place. I did read the directions, and we'll need to talk in October how we want to go about doing it, but it's the November meeting we should be looking at applications and making the decision.
All right.
Just in regards to the parking lot, can you at some point put on the agenda discussion of the facilities plan? I mean, what goes into it? What will we consider? Is it for the main branch, or what? How will that roll out?
Push it out.
Well, whenever. I mean, this is just parking
yeah,
lot,
we're gonna,
so whenever you
yeah,
have the
definitely.
Opportunity to schedule.
Well, I expect that once we're going to enter into an agreement with a consultant. We would be talking about that
okay.
in detail.
Okay.
We may want to. We may want to have a discussion before I work on an RFP.
Right.
That, but I need to kind of get through some stuff here.
Okay. I believe we're adjourned until June 6th,
hopefully.
And then special meeting if we need it.
May 19th.
Is that 2 weeks?
16.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I won't be here at the June 6th. The city's June 6th board meeting. City Council is going to appoint an alternate.
Tell them to read their budget package.
Yeah.
I'd be glad to meet with whoever it is.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.